Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Happy Monday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Thank you for being here this afternoon. It's interesting to see the Democrat Party descending upon my home state. Yes, of course, that northeastern corner of our state, Chicago, where two-thirds of the Illinois population resides. And gosh, it's just like the glowing reviews that you when you get a home and you bring people, you've got like a big party. The party's going to be, Christmas is going to be at your house for the first time this Christmas. And everybody, all the family's coming and you're like trying to make everything just look perfect. And then people start talking about all of the things that are not perfect about your home. That's what it feels like to see the DNC in Chicago this week, at least the way a lot of the worst parts of what Illinois has to offer are on full display. I say this as somebody who loves Illinois. Chicago is a beautiful city being destroyed by really, really stupid policies. There are wonderful people in Chicago. There are wonderful things that Chicago has to offer, but we don't do our best job to showcase them. Do you recognize that same problem, St. Louis? I think that you probably know exactly what I'm talking about if you're a Missourian and you are somebody who's, you know, been around St. Louis. You call St. Louis home when people ask you where you're from. You're from St. Charles, but what do you say? You say St. Louis or some version of it. You're proud of it enough to call it your home, but you know that when people come here, it's just it's there are things that don't need to be the way they are. And it is very, very sad to have that be on full display. That's taking place right now, started yesterday. I've been watching the coverage. And here's the mayor of Chicago talking about the DNC coming to his city.
We're ready for this convention. Look, our local police department has worked with the Secret Service as well as other local agencies to ensure a safe, peaceful, yet vibrant, exciting convention. The city of Chicago has been rated number one as it relates to convention centers and how we make sure that we protect people while also providing an opportunity to see the beauty and the soul of who we are.
I hope that, I sincerely hope that this week in Chicago that the DNC gets through and nobody is hurt, that there are no tragic crime stories that come out of it. Although, I will say, not a caveat to that statement, it does frustrate me when you look, I think it's 21, did I see that right? 21 people shot in Chicago over this weekend. Does that even get discussed at the Democrat convention this week in Chicago? Is crime something that is a prime concern for the people who want to take that leadership role in the Democrat Party to continue their leadership? I mean, the way crime has grown in our country at this point, it's interesting when you say that and then some people will throw back statistics in your face and in various places and talk about certain crimes going down. And then you realize that we just don't arrest for certain crimes anymore. We don't participate in the system that says that, yeah, those people really shouldn't be doing that. We want to focus on rehabilitation. We want to focus on, the people who are committing the crimes. Why are they committing the crimes? I mean, at some point, if your loved one is a victim of some violent crime, and if you're sitting there for even a second and hearing somebody talk about what we need to do to help these people be rehabilitated, or even worse, you find out that people who have committed violent crimes are let back out into the community. And we all know in Illinois, the Safety Act, what they fully invested in, the Democrats, the supermajority of Democrats in Springfield, the General Assembly, and J.B. Pritzker himself, what they have invested in our state, constantly trying to re-describe words that you and I understand and have always known to be true, like victim. Who's the victim? Are you a victim of a system, and therefore your victimhood within a system that you have no control over you causes you to commit crimes against other people? If you phrase it that way, then the person who's committing the crimes, they couldn't help it. That's the natural course of actions. How can you blame that individual for committing those heinous crimes when the system was out to get them the whole time? So you have to redefine the system. That's the play. And you got to really ask yourself, I mean, in what reality do you really believe that that is going to create a better community system for Americans to live in? And I always come back to the same conclusion: when it makes zero sense that their solutions to the problems are actually going to fix the problems, when there's no way, shape, or form that any common sense applied using the Democrat far left progressive solution to a problem like crime, you're looking at it and I'm like, and I'm going, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to make us feel more safe. Look around you. Do you feel more safe in St. Louis? Do you feel more safe in Chicago? These policies aren't out there to solve this problem. You have to ask yourself if they're trying to solve the same problem. Every single time. The solutions that I might come up with, or maybe they're way over my head and I don't have the solutions, but I can sure identify what the problem is. How comfortable I feel walking hand in hand with my children down the streets of St. Louis or Chicago at 9 o'clock at night. Should I feel safe doing that? I should. But as a mother, I'm not going to. I'm not going to do that. Why is that? And that's because the people who are in charge of these communities are not trying to solve the same problems that we want to have solved. That's why the problems can get worse as you and I identify them, and they will just point to some statistic somewhere that makes them feel good about the direction they're heading in. They're solving problems that we don't identify as the main issue. Lawrence Jones and Fox and Friends interviewed Monet Jacobs, who lost her son last year in Chicago. And I'm going to play some of these clips. If you get a chance to watch this video, this interview, oh my gosh, rip your heart out, because it's as sad as it gets. And I'm watching this woman talk about the lost life of her son who has children. This Monet is a grandmother. I'm watching her talk about her son's life being lost. And it's at the DNC convention. She's saying things that aren't flattering to the Democrat way of doing things, because the community she comes from is just perpetually run by Democrats. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, the political tug of war that's going to come over Monet Jacobs and her dead son, her murdered son. Ugh, it's gross. It's difficult to watch somebody's strife and somebody's heartache become a political talking point. You got to ask yourself, is this right? Is this what is good? And the truth of the matter is, these conversations have to be had. And when she herself is willing to put herself in the conversation to have her voice be heard, we should shut up and we should listen to what Monet Jacobs has to say.
A lot of the politicians today say the reason why they are more soft on crime and have bail laws where the same criminals get back on the street is because they feel like it's a justice issue. What would you tell them?
Focus more on helping. We're losing babies. You know, we're not losing the elderly as fast as we're losing our young people. They're not even getting a chance to grow up. I'll never know what it feels like to have a grandchild from him. Like, we're losing our future, you know? I don't know what else to say to them. Like, what is it going to take for you to step in and do what you're supposed to do to protect the community? You're not doing that. Because if you were, we would have answers about everything. Babies getting shot in the front yard, as you said. Like, I don't even watch the news anymore. I seen him on the news, and It's like,
that was it for you.
It was flashbacks. So, no, I'm not into what's going on. You go on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, the social media, you always see somebody's up there. Shot women, kids, young men, you know?
I think there's an enormous amount of tragic clarity for somebody like Monet Jacobs, who's talking about the reality. You do not need, if you live in these communities, you do not need to flip on the news to understand that there are babies dying in the streets because crime is out of control. Getting shot out of their front yards. Playing games in their front yards where they should feel 100% safe. They are not safe. Crime is out of control in so many different cities around our country. And the consistency is the policies that are not interested in getting criminal, law-breaking individuals off the streets and creating an absolute, impenetrable safety bubble around these children so they can play in their front yards. She said more to Lawrence Jones in this interview.
My 5-year-old granddaughter misses him like crazy. What am I supposed to say to her? She, Nanny, what happened? I don't know, babe. You know, somebody.
You don't have an answer for it.
I don't have an answer because nobody's giving me an answer. So I don't know what to do in those circumstances. You understand?
Understand.
Like, how can I vote for somebody who I don't feel like has my back? Or any parent who lost their child's back. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we supposed to do? You want me to vote for you? What are you going to do for me? You say what you're going to do, but when you get in office, do you really do what you said you're going to do? I don't think so. Because this crime has been going on for decades, and it's getting sickening to watch parents on TV crying about the loss of their child. Like, it's hard when you have to bury someone that grew inside of you.
Yeah.
I never thought the hurt would be this bad. It's like, I lost my mom and my dad. Oh, that was hard. But this was just way over. It's too much hurt.
Gosh. When she's having this conversation with Lawrence Jones, she has tears streaming down her face. And she said this, it's been this way forever. She talks about just like acceptance that this is the way it is. And then, you know, people show up on her doorstep and want her to vote for them. And she said, what are you going to do for me? Why would I vote for you? What are you going to do for me? And that's what the Democrats have done in these cities for so long. And to choose Chicago of all places to be the epicenter of Democrat policies by choice. I mean, it's almost too much. It's almost too much for me to bear to watch what is taking place. There's a, I can't remember who the reporter was on Fox News, but he's in Chicago at the DNC, and he goes, well, basically, if you're anybody who hates America for anything, your group is here protesting. I'm working really hard watching this convention coverage. Of course, I'm watching a lot of it from Fox News, but there is an advantageous reason for Fox News to hyper focus on these protesters. And I think to myself, if these protesters were in Milwaukee doing the same thing in Milwaukee, I'm wondering, would Fox News give it the same amount of coverage that they are going to give it here in Chicago? The thing is that we didn't have that in Milwaukee, so we don't know the answer to that. But I don't want to get blindsided. I don't want to allow myself to get blindsided in the dissent that we see in Chicago, the crime that took place this weekend, people who lost their lives this weekend in Chicago because crime is out of control. And it's just a weekend in August. Nothing special. Status quo. In Chicago, this is how things go. Are they going to address it this week at their convention? I doubt it. And that's the worst part of it. When we come back, we're going to speak with Brandon Strock. And I'm excited to play for you. I'm going to play for you this video here that he has re-released 6 years after his initial walk away experience. And he's going to come back. He's going to come back and talk to us in about five minutes or so to discuss where he is now and what the state of this country
is. Once upon a time, I was a liberal. but you already know that. 6 years ago, I proclaimed that I was no longer a liberal and told all the reasons why, but I had no idea how much worse things were about to get. The left is no longer simply intolerant, inflexible, illogical, un-American, and misinformed. In the last 6 years, they have devolved into malicious, corrupt, perverse, sadistic, ruthless, oppressive, and borderline authoritarian behavior and rhetoric. Liberalism has been devoured by leftism, and leftism is just hatred and destruction marketed as virtue. For years now, we have watched as the left has embarked on an intentional and methodical endeavor to radically upend American life. They've pushed for every policy objective that would increase crime and disunity while destroying our economic system, our justice and morality, our right to defend our border, and our right to defend ourselves. Today, the ultimate goal of the Democrats is more power, more control.
Election is about understanding the importance of...
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This beautiful country of ours, in terms of what we stand for around the globe as a democracy. As a democracy, we know there's a duality to the nature of democracy. On the one hand, incredible strength when it is intact. What it does for its people to protect and defend their rights, their liberty, and their freedom. Incredibly strong and incredibly fragile.
Did you ever play Balderdash with your parents? That old purple box where you had to like write down a description of a word that you'd never heard of? Because I feel like she's just reading Balderdash descriptions of things. If she hasn't scared people away from the Democrat Party yet, we have the original walkaway founder, Brandon Strock, on with us today. And I'm excited to bring him back onto the Annie Fry Show because he made a decision when maybe it wasn't as popular to do so to say, you know what, this isn't for me. Whatever that was, Kamala Harris probably isn't for him either. Brandon, thank you for coming back on the show. It's great to have you here.
Hey, it's good to be back. How are you?
Doing okay. I'm a little, you know, we get every day closer to this election. And I wonder how many people are going to be like you were after Hillary Clinton lost, devastated, and then you kind of had your eyes open. And I want to hear that story again. Why maybe not Democrats anymore? I wonder how you have made this six-year journey to right now, what you've learned in that amount of time.
Yeah. How many days do you have?
I have a week. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Well, I guess the bottom line is because I've been doing a little, I just put this video out. So I've been doing a few more interviews recently than I have been in weeks prior. And people keep asking me things like, you know, when I put the video out 6 years ago, did I imagine that 3 years later, what happened to me would have happened to me and, you know, all these different things or that we'd be in this place that we're at today? And I mean, the answer is no. I mean, I put a video out 6 years ago talking about all the reasons why I was walking away from the Democratic Party and walking away from the left. At the time, my reasons for walking away were like, you know, they accuse us of racism when they're the ones who exploit minorities and, you know, that they're bending our conventional concepts of gender and, you know, things like that. Now it's like they're putting us in jail and trying to shoot us.
Yeah, that happened fast. That came at you quick.
Yeah, real fast. Real fast. And honestly, I haven't been shot yet. It's coming, I'm sure. But like, that's just about everything else I've experienced. They put me in jail. They tried to bankrupt me. They sued me. They banned me from PayPal, Venmo, Stripe, Patreon. I got banned from being able to send and receive money for a while. I couldn't get on an airplane without being accompanied by air marshals. Like, that's not a joke. That's not a joke.
What did you do to deserve that? What did they think you did?
They knew that I, on January 6th, I stood outside of the Capitol for 8 minutes shooting a video on my phone. They knew, when I say they knew, I mean, like, I wasn't even charged with or accused of committing any violence, of any damage. I didn't even witness any, I didn't witness anyone breaking any windows, fighting with police officers, and I never entered the building. They knew this. Nonetheless, because of who I was and because they knew I was standing on restricted grounds, they raided my home. The FBI came into my house, got me out of bed. They put me in handcuffs, took me to jail, and a team of agents stripped my apartment of my computers, my phones, my hard drives, my thumb drives. But all of that because I stood outside of the building for 8 minutes shooting a video.
I mean,
sorry. Because you asked the question, why did they do it? In addition, that's what the Department of Justice did. But when the Department of Justice did that, of course, it became an international story that I was a part of the insurrection. And because of that, I had to start being accompanied by air marshals when I got on airplanes. I had to go through literally hours of secondary screening at the airport before I could get on a flight. And then I got banned from every payment platform you can imagine, email services, you name it.
What kind of danger were you to people? I mean, did they ever articulate like the threat that you were, in their mind, like the thing that they could construct against you?
Yeah. So the reason specifically that happened with TSA and the air marshals and all that is because Benny Thompson, who was one of the heads of the January 6th committee, Democratic Party congressman, contacted TSA. And told them, he did this in early January, after the 6th, contacted them and told them, what are you doing to make travel difficult / impossible for what he said, the white supremacists and domestic terrorists who went to the Capitol on January 6th? This is a letter that has since been published.
Oh, my gosh.
And he basically put pressure on them saying, we as the members of Congress and the January 6th committee are demanding that you make travel difficult for the white supremacists and the terrorists that went to the Capitol on January 6th. And that's what they did to us.
You know, I'm thinking of you, Brandon. We're speaking with Brandon Strzok right now, the original Walkaway founder. And I encourage you to check out everything that he is doing right now with that movement. I'm thinking about the southern border. I'm thinking about the people who are just blindly coming across. I'm thinking about the people who are being put on airplanes by our federal government and dropped into our country, who are not being surveilled by air marshals. People don't even know where they are right now. That's like by design. Oh, we can't find them. We don't know where they are. But, you know, thank God Brandon Strzok can't go from, you know, Nebraska to Miami without us knowing every single thing he does, what kind of drinks he orders, and so on and so forth. What does it make you think when you hear about the way other people, nameless people, are being handled in this country and how they are treating you?
Well, look, I've been living in the Twilight Zone now for 3.5 years. So, like, I've at this point kind of built my own coping mechanisms to deal with all of this. But, you know, in my January 6th case from the Department of Justice prosecutors to the judges that have handled my case, it became clear to me at the very beginning that this was being treated literally like an act of terrorism and that they were taking this very seriously. So I had to play their game that okay, this is what we're doing. But, you know, in the video that I just put out, and I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it
yet. Yes, I watched all 9 minutes of it.
One of the points that I made in this new video, and it's very, for anyone who hasn't seen it, basically in this video, I go over everything in the last 6 years that the Democrats have done to destroy our country, our culture, our values, our freedom, And it's rapid fire. I mean, it's a lot and it happens very fast. But one of the points I make is they'll provide sanctuary for illegal migrants, but surveil American citizens that they fear are too patriotic. And that's basically it, because, you know, and then I show two different headlines. One of them is that, you know, Laken Riley was murdered by an illegal migrant that was given sanctuary in this country by the Democrats. Yet the next article that I cut to is how the FBI is surveilling Trump supporters leading up to the 2024 election. You know, your question to me is, how do I feel about that? I mean, what I feel is that, you know, we're not that far away from what they do in China, where their government surveils their citizens and gives them social credit scores and decides the amount of freedom that they're allowed to have based off of how they behave and what they believe.
You know, when I think about your movement, when, you know, like you said at the beginning, like they used to call us names and then they put you, then they put us in jail. I mean, this is, like I said, this that accelerated quickly, especially for you. The thing that I respect about you, Brandon, so much is that most people would get angry, and I'm sure you are angry, but not everybody gets motivated. You have gotten motivated and you have put your feet in action, not just your mouth or your fingers on a keyboard into action. What have you seen grow out of your walkaway moment that you made into one video that you have now turned into this new video 6 years later? I shared it on my Twitter. You've shared it, of course. What kind? Yeah. What have you gotten out of this motivation?
Well, look, I always tell the truth. And so I'm going to be really honest with you and say there is. I'm in New York City right now. I'm sorry. I don't know if you can hear.
That's
it.
There's
like mad sirens going on outside.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm in a hotel. You know, when I put out the video in 2018 and I launched Walk Away in 2018, from that moment up until January 6th, it was nothing but explosive growth. And I mean, really what I would call like the most kind of like magical experience of this movement, getting people feeling excited, motivated, feeling like they have a home, people thinking, OK, we can think for ourselves and break away from the group think and the tribal mentality and the victim narrative. And I mean, honestly, it was really just despite the fact that the left was fighting me the whole time, but it really felt nothing but magical and amazing. Then January 6th happens. We have to go basically quiet for about a year, year and a half as I go through my case, my sentencing, all of that. Now I'm back. I'm working just as hard as I ever did. I'm out there fighting just as hard as ever, putting out the content, doing the events. But I'll be honest with you. I feel it's a very palpable feeling that people are afraid to get involved the way that they used to. They're being much more quiet than they used to. I mean, we still are, you know, getting videos and stories from people walking away, but, and it's not just walk away. I see it with people afraid to speak out about supporting Trump or afraid to speak out about supporting whatever. I mean, they've really done a very effective job, I think, at making people feel paralyzed and a chilling effect to people not wanting to speak out or show up for events or get involved. And so I'm never going to stop. I'm never going to stop. But, you know, it's
the challenge.
Feel like I'm working really, really hard right now. And the results are not what they were.
You know, Brandon, I was having this conversation a week ago. Long story short, I took my kid, my son. He's 14, eighth grade class trip this past spring. He kept asking me for a MAGA hat. He's clearly exposed to politics a little more than the average 14-year-old. And I kept saying, no. He's like, I want to spend my own money. I said to my son, I said, Charlie, do you know what people are going to say to you when you wear that? And he said to me, he goes, Mom, I know, and I don't care. I was like, you want to spend your own money, you can do it. He gets compliments everywhere he goes. He's a 14-year-old kid. But what I've realized is that it's so rare to just, I mean, we're in the Midwest. It's so rare to even see a Trump hat out and about right now that it'll make somebody's day just to see that hat because somebody had the bravery to do that. The left wins every single argument because Republicans don't show up to have the argument. And being willing to speak on it, that's where the surface starts to crack for the left. And you've been a pioneer in that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I always try to make it a point. I'm in New York City right now.
If you read this, New Yorkers for Trump.
Yeah. And So I try to make it a point in some way, almost every day, to make a statement or to not be afraid to make a statement. Every time I get on an airplane, I either wear something about Trump or I wear something about walk away or whatever, because these are the moments where I think that we, when we're kind of in these like captive situations with other people, that I want them to know that people like me exist and that I'm not afraid to, you know, say how I feel or speak about my beliefs. And most recently, when I was flying to New York City, I was on an airplane and I was wearing, we have a new shirt with Walkaway now that's Trump after he's been shot, like cupping his fist. And it says Walkaway at the top. And then at the bottom, it says fight in giant letters with his picture on it. And when I got off the plane, a woman came up to me and she said, I love your shirt. And I said, thank you. And she said, you're very brave to wear that in New York. And I said, well, I guess so. But I was like, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong. Yeah. I mean, so why wouldn't I say, you know, let people know how I feel?
Yeah. Look at the people marching in the streets of Chicago this week during the convention and the things they're willfully wearing and screaming and shouting in the faces of police officers. No shame there. A simple Trump t-shirt. I think we can all put our hands in the middle and try to do a little bit better. I think we can follow your lead. Brandon, before we let you go, how can we help you continue the Walkaway movement? How can we support you?
Well, okay. So coming back to the point of, you know, people speaking out more and encouraging people to get back in the game. We are incentivizing people with, I think, a really cool challenge. We're calling it the Walkaway $10,000 Testimonial Video Challenge. So between now and November 1st, we're running a contest for the best Walkaway video. And people can go to walkawaychallenge.com to sign up. You have to sign up. So go to walkawaychallenge.com to read the rules. But the first 50 people to enter are going to automatically win $100. And then once you've entered, you have a chance at three prizes. Third place, $500. Second place, $1,000. First place, $10,000. We're giving away $10,000 to the person who submits the best Walkaway video. So guys, get off your lazy, stupid, scared butts. And you're not stupid, but lazy and scared. Get off your butts and share your stories. We've got 2 months to wake up as many people as possible. If you have a Walkaway story, now's the time to share it. And you could possibly win $10,000 if you do. Great. All you got to do is go to walkawaychallenge.com, read the rules, sign up, make your video, enter it according to the rules, and you have a chance at winning $10,000. And if you're one of the first 50, you automatically get $100.
Yeah, there's no reason not to participate in that. So go to walkawaychallenge.com. Also, go follow him, Brandon Strock, on Twitter, on X, and retweet this new video that he has. It's so well done. It really sums up the whole story. And get the message out. That's a very small, subtle thing you can do if you've got a big story to tell. Walkawaychallenge.com. Brandon, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show and to tell your story. It's always welcome here. Thank you again for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
Yep, you as well. Thank you so much. Brandon Strock, you know him from the Walkaway movement. He's the Walkaway founder, and you can go to walkawaychallenge.com to sign up. And if you do sign up for that and you send in a video, alert me, because I'm gonna keep my eye on it, because I want to see if you win. That would be so great if we had an Annie Fry Show audience member participate and win in that challenge. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America, when we come back, I'll give you the Monday roundup. Wonderful to speak with Brandon Strock. In the next hour, we've got Steve Moore is going to talk to us about commonomics. I've had to practice that word, and communism, which that's spelled with a K-A-M. It's hard to tell the difference. You see what I'm doing there? Let's get Ryan Wiggins in here for Wiggins America next.
Wiggins!
Oh! Monday Roundup!
This here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Man, I hope you're ready for this. It is August 19th.
Yeah.
And man, what a weekend. Start with, I don't know, I'm just hyping it up. I
mean, 128 days till Christmas.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Is it down? Are we in the 70s yet for days until election?
78.
Mm-hmm. I knew we were close. All right, 78 days. And that YouTube live chat poll, genuinely curious to hear what you're going to say about that. When will you vote? And have you changed? Things you missed over the weekend. This is the Monday Roundup. How about Caitlin Clark? Paying attention to Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
Closely? Caitlin Clark achieved a WNBA milestone in the Indiana Fever's 92-75 win over the Seattle Storm on Sunday, breaking the rookie record for assists in a season already. However, something else happened in that game that looms over the Fever's remaining 12 games of the regular season. She picked up a technical foul midway through the third quarter for hitting the backstop behind the basket in frustration after missing a three-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
You're already aware of all this. Mm-hmm. You saw it.
Yes.
What did you think about the technical? Fair?
I don't know. I don't watch enough NBA to compare the WNBA to NBA attitude towards that. She was mad at herself. She was not taking anything out on the other team, her teammates, her coach, or most importantly, the officials. And she got mad and she went and wailed on the base of the hoop. I mean, should she have done that? I guess not. But
it was like a slap on the pad of it.
I mean, she was mad,
yeah.
But I mean, she didn't hit like the cameraman,
yeah,
or the official. I don't really understand some of the things that people have done physically to Caitlin Clark that have not gotten that type of reaction. But like, don't you treat that basketball hoop that way?
That's kind of what I thought when watching it. So. However, after watching it a couple times, I'm like, you know what? The official is standing right there. Not that he was threatened by it, but he's watching the whole thing happen.
Well,
I could see.
His job.
I could see.
Good for
that,
him.
You know, I mean, but if it's like, hey, you know, it's an inbound play.
Do they want? I mean, figure out what you want, folks. Do you want these girls to be like the All-American Women Girls Baseball League, where it's like you're going to wear this skirt and you're going to learn how to sip tea and you're going to sit and cross your ankles over because a lady reveals nothing? That's what they say. I mean, is that what you want? Or do you want Caitlin Clark, who's breaking records left and right, to get a little fired up every once in a while? Caitlin Clark don't care. She had a career highlighting game. And she said in the press conference afterwards, she's like, I actually kind of appreciated the official. I wasn't mad at anybody when I did that. I thought it was, okay, fine, if you want to give me a tech for that. But it really fired me up, and I really, that she ended up having a record-breaking game.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She says in the post game, she's like, that's the fire that motivates me. That's the passion that I have. And she said, should I have channeled that a little bit better? Probably. But I use that to motivate me for the rest of the game. And then, so, I mean, I think it's weird that we're talking about it on this show this much already, but what do you want from these people? Do you want like excitement and passion, or do you want pinkies out? I don't know.
I would prefer the pinkies out.
Did you watch the game?
No.
Do you know who she plays for?
Yeah, the Indiana Fever.
And do you know what position she plays?
Power forward.
Do you know what her number is?
No.
Okay, that's like basic stuff.
No.
You're not the target demo.
No, I'm not.
My daughter is.
So you guys watch?
We pay attention.
Yeah.
We don't make, I mean, I don't, can't make time to watch the Cardinals.
How are you going to watch all this?
I know all that. I read the stories. I've watched the highlights.
So that's her fifth technical of the season.
Mm-hmm. She gets seven, she gets suspended.
With only 12 games left, I wouldn't think that she's going to get two more, but you never know. Guess we'll see. How much are you relying on AI in your life these days?
As little as possible.
Actually,
oh, very much so. In fact, there are likely places that I'm using artificial intelligence that I don't realize I'm using artificial intelligence. And should I find out that I was using AI, I would work to stop it.
Well, I've thought that the graphic world, where it's making album covers and it's making fake videos and stuff, has been impressive. But I haven't really seen it practical in everyday life yet.
That's my point. Like, it's likely way more prevalent than we know. We just don't realize it's AI.
This is an article from the New York Post where a guy has started to use AI in a way that I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I could see that. He gets a bunch of ingredients, goes home and just says the ingredients to AI and says,
what can I
put
make?
A meal together for me and make it as quick as possible. And he does it, and he does it multiple nights a week.
It's probably like, how he dies. That's how how they take over.
Make sure to put arsenic in soup.
don't put arsenic in soup. Do you have arsenic? Who has arsenic?
Well, he has a lot of mice.
Here are my ingredients.
Yeah, he's poisoning
them. I'm speaking completely from a place of ignorance. Is arsenic something that is just around?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's something that maybe used to be around.
Only like in a cabin in the woods that you shouldn't go into.
Yeah.
With a lady going, ha, 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 inside.
Right.
You can only hear it. And you're like, oh, I wonder what's going on in there.
Yeah. I don't know how much arsenic was in Hansel and Gretel, which is pretty much what you're referring to.
Who are they?
but it is something that seems to be like an old-fashioned poison that they don't really use anymore.
Yeah, it's totally out of style.
It's great to name drop, though. It's fun. But this sounds like a very practical use for AI. And it's the kind of thing I've been waiting for. I just wanted to see what you guys' thoughts were on using AI in this fashion.
I used AI to create a chili recipe for a competition.
Nice.
I got second place.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He entered a chili cook-off.
Called it Chili GTP.
Yeah.
Or GPT.
GTP is funnier.
Chili JTT.
I love Jonathan Chili Thomas.
I still do. All right. RFK says he does not plan on backing Kamala Harris for president. This is in light of a bunch of stories from last week. And this is where I'm like, who's telling the truth here? Because the Harris campaign leaked a bunch of information to the Washington Post, which then was repeated all over the place, that RFK was looking for a cabinet position in turn for an endorsement.
I believe 0% of anything that Kamala Harris's campaign does.
Mm-hmm. Me
0%.
Too.
I mean, there are things they're doing that are real and legit. I don't believe any of them. None of them. I believe none of it.
Yeah. Well, they haven't given us a track record of total honesty, and they're not exactly forthright with anything, especially the candidate herself. But RFK says, I have no plans to endorse Kamala Harris for president. I do have a plan to defeat her, which is what he's supposed to say. But ultimately, this is in light of the Harris campaign trying to get out ahead of him probably not planning on endorsing her at all anyway.
I'm telling you what, Trump needs to acquire RFK Jr., and Trump needs to make a deal with the Bidens.
Man, Joe Biden is a wild card in this race now, isn't he?
Make the deal with the Bidens. What does he need? He needs a pardon, and he needs to be a hero. That's what the man needs. Tell him to spill it, and then give it to him. You want to dismantle the Democrat Party for generations? I'm just saying, Joe Biden could be our guy. Do you have that on your bingo card? Let's take a quick break. Steve Moore, when we come back.
Man, I hope you're ready for this. It is August 19th.
Yeah.
And man, what a weekend. Start with, I don't know, I'm just piping it up. I
mean, 128 days till Christmas.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Is it down, are we in the 70s yet for days until election?
78.
Mm-hmm. I knew we were close. All right, 78 days. And that YouTube live chat poll, genuinely curious to hear what you're going to say about that. When will you vote? And have you changed? Things you missed over the weekend. This is the Monday Roundup. How about Caitlin Clark? You paying attention to Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
Closely? Caitlin Clark achieved a WNBA milestone in the Indiana Fever's 92-75 win over the Seattle Storm on Sunday, breaking the rookie record for assists in a season already. However, something else happened in that game that looms over the Fever's remaining 12 games of the regular season. She picked up a technical foul midway through the third quarter for hitting the backstop behind the basket in frustration after missing a three-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
You're already aware of all this. Mm-hmm. You saw it.
Yes.
What did you think about the technical? Fair?
I don't know. I don't watch enough NBA to compare the WNBA to NBA attitude towards that. She was mad at herself. She was not taking anything out on the other team, her teammates, her coach, or most importantly, the officials. And she got mad and she went and wailed on the base of the hoop. I mean, should she have done that? I guess not. But
it was like a slap on the pad of it. It wasn't,
I mean, she was mad.
Yeah.
But I mean, she didn't hit like the cameraman.
Yeah.
Or the official. I don't really understand some of the things that people have done physically to Caitlin Clark that have not gotten that type of reaction. But like, don't you treat that basketball hoop that way.
That's kind of what I thought when watching it. So, however, after watching it a couple times, I'm like, you know what? The official is standing right there. Not that he was threatened by it, but he's watching the whole thing happen.
Well, that's his job. I can see that. Good for him.
You know, I mean, but if it's like, hey, you know, it's an inbound play.
Do they want? I mean, figure out what you want, folks. Do you want these girls to be like the All-American Women Girls Baseball League, where it's like you're going to wear this skirt and you're going to learn how to sip tea and you're going to sit and cross your ankles over because a lady reveals nothing? That's what they say. I mean, is that what you want? Or do you want Caitlin Clark, who's breaking records left and right, to get a little fired up every once in a while? Caitlin Clark don't care. She had a career highlighting game. And she said in the press conference afterwards, she's like, I actually kind of appreciated the official. I wasn't mad at anybody when I did that. I thought it was okay, fine, if you want to give me a tech for that. But it really fired me up. And I really, that she ended up having a record breaking game.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She says in the post game, she's like, that's the fire that motivates me. That's the passion that I have. And she said, should I have channeled that a little bit better? Probably. But I use that to motivate me for the rest of the game. And then, so, I mean, I think it's weird that we're talking about it on this show this much already, but what do you want from these people? Do you want like excitement and passion, or do you want pinkies out? I don't know.
I would prefer the pinkies out.
Did you watch the game?
No.
Do you know who she plays for?
Yeah, the Indiana Fever.
And do you know what position she plays?
Power forward.
Do you know what her number is?
No.
Okay, that's like basic stuff.
No.
You're not the target demo.
No, I'm not.
My daughter is.
So you guys watch?
We pay attention.
Yeah.
We don't make, I mean, I don't, can't make time to watch the Cardinals.
Yeah. How are you going to watch all this?
I know all that. I read the stories. I've watched the highlights.
So that's her fifth technical of the season.
Mm-hmm. She gets seven and she gets suspended.
With only 12 games left, I wouldn't think that she's going to get two more, but you never know. Guess we'll see. How much are you relying on AI in your life these days?
As little as possible.
On purpose?
Oh, very much so. In fact, there are likely places that I'm using artificial intelligence that I don't realize I'm using artificial intelligence. And should I find out that I was using AI, I would work to stop it.
Well, I've thought that the graphic world, where it's making album covers and it's making fake videos and stuff, has been impressive. But I haven't really seen it practical in everyday life yet.
But that's my point. Like, it's likely way more prevalent than we know. We just don't realize it's AI.
This is an article from the New York Post where a guy has started to use AI in a way that I'm like, oh, okay, all right, I could see that. He gets a bunch of ingredients, goes home and just says the ingredients to AI and says,
what can I
put a meal together for me and make it as quick as possible. And he does it, and he does it multiple nights a week.
Probably like, how he dies. That's how they take over.
Make sure to put arsenic in soup.
don't put arsenic in soup. Do you have arsenic? Who has arsenic?
Well, he has a lot of mice.
Here are my ingredients.
Yeah, he's poisoning
I'm
them.
I'm speaking completely from a place of ignorance. Is arsenic something that is just around?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's something that maybe used to be around.
Only like in a cabin in the woods that you shouldn't go into.
Yeah.
With a lady going, ha! Inside.
Yeah, right.
You can only hear it. And you're like, oh, I wonder what's going on in there.
Yeah. I don't know how much arsenic was in Hansel and Gretel, which is pretty much what you're referring to.
Who are they?
but it is something that seems to be like an old-fashioned poison that they don't really use anymore.
Yeah, it's totally out of style.
It's great to name drop, though. It's fun. But this sounds like a very practical use for AI. And it's the kind of thing I've been waiting for. I just wanted to see what you guys' thoughts were on using AI in this fashion.
I used AI to create a chili recipe for a competition.
Nice.
I got second place.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He entered a chili cook-off.
Called it Chili GTP.
Yeah.
Or GPT.
GTP is funnier.
Chili JTT.
I love Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
I still do. All right. RFK says he does not plan on backing Kamala Harris for president. This is in light of a bunch of stories from last week. And this is where I'm like, who's telling the truth here? Because the Harris campaign leaked a bunch of information to the Washington Post, which then was repeated all over the place, that RFK was looking for a cabinet position in turn for an endorsement.
I believe 0% of anything that Kamala Harris's campaign does.
Mm-hmm. Me
0%.
Too.
I mean, there are things they're doing that are real and legit. I don't believe any of them. None of them. I believe none of it.
Yeah. Well, they haven't given us a track record of total honesty, and they're not exactly forthright with anything, especially the candidate herself. But RFK says, I have no plans to endorse Kamala Harris for president. I do have a plan to defeat her, which is what he's supposed to say. But ultimately, this is in light of the Harris campaign trying to get out ahead of him probably not planning on endorsing her at all anyway.
I'm telling you what, Trump needs to acquire RFK Jr. and Trump needs to make a deal with the Bidens.
Man, Joe Biden is a wild card in this race now, isn't he?
Make the deal with the Bidens. What does he need? He needs a pardon and he needs to be a hero. That's what the man needs. Tell him to spill it and then give it to him. You want to dismantle the Democrat Party for generations? I'm just saying, Joe Biden could be our guy. Do you have that on your bingo card? Let's take a quick break. Steve Moore, when we come back.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.